Hey there, this is Adam Wiener. Thank you for joining us. This is the Eurohonk Minute. We're continuing live from EAU 26 here in London. These are quick updates from the experts in urologic oncology. I'm very excited to welcome Professor Martin Albertson from University Hospital Leuven. Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you for coming to EU as well.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Come on.
Good to hear that.
So this is a very important topic because we're talking about a relatively rare GU tumor type. We're talking about penile cancer.
Yeah.
And like you and I were discussing before we even got started, a lot of this management can end up being with the general urology population in the community. And more often in the earlier stage. And what I would love for us to explore in this conversation here is molecular characterization of penile cancer. Why don't you start us off? What are the basics? What do we know?
Yeah, I think we're going to keep it simple. We can dive into a little bit of specifics of molecular characterization. Becomes very particular, very detailed. But what do we know? We know that penile cancer can be driven either by HPV in 50% of cases, or by chronic inflammation, like a sclerosis. This has been the classical biomarker that we have been testing for. So you can do it very easily in the immunohistochemistry. You can do a P16 staining, and P16 is a protein that's upregulated in HPV-driven penile cancers. And we do know that these HPV-driven penile cancers do better. So their prognosis is better, but we don't really understand so far why. And we don't tailor our treatment to that. So what we are doing back in the lab is trying to see what exactly makes up that prognostic difference and how that would inform future treatment development.
And that's what's critical here, because we have a rare tumor type that unfortunately does not get quite as personalized care as some of our more common prostate.
Not at all, really, right?
We have a certain tumor type. We know a histology that helps us maybe determine the extent of treatment. Mm-hmm. Certainly, especially in the early form, a lack of really adjuvant applications. Mm-hmm. Where do you see your work going? Where do you see that expanding?
First of all, we are refining this P16 or HPV-based classification, because we are seeing that there are also in the HPV-negative tumors, there is a group of patients that do better and a group of patients that do worse. And that is determined by whether there's a P53 mutation, yes or no. We all know P53 very well, but isn't penile cancer, unfortunately, because it's a relatively new concept. So we're studying that. And as you know, in penile cancer, a lot of our treatments are super invasive, right? We do mutilating surgery, which a huge impact of quality of life. We do inguinal lymph node dissections that cause lymphedema, and again, huge impact of quality of life. And what we want is a biomarker that tells us which of the patients can we spare all these nasty treatments, right? And we think we're on the right track with this P16, P53 combined classifier, because we see in our molecular data in a single cell atlas that we recently composed of PL yes. cancer, that we see signs that, the bad group, the P16 negative P53 mutated group, they show signs of EMT, angiogenesis, immune exclusion. But the other groups, we actually see signals for the use of immune therapy, so exhausted phenotypes, PD-1 expression, and in HPV-positive tumors, innate immunity being present. And what we also see is that we see genetic signatures that have been correlated to increased radiotherapy response rates. So we think that with a very useful classifier, because these are two stainings that are routinely done in clinics, we could already start tailoring treatments like HPV positive tumors, maybe a bit more radiotherapy, a bit less surgery, specifically for the nodes, because that is complicated surgery, right? And on the other hand, the group that is expected to fare poorly, maybe we should actually escalate treatment there, not only chemotherapy, but maybe chemoimmune or chemoimmune targeted therapies. But in order to spare patients that do not need these toxic therapies and in order to identify the patients that actually benefit for escalated, we need to progress this field.
And I think this is a really important point, because as you know, we have great multi-arm trials going on in penile cancer right now. They're not all biomarker directed,
no,
but you can see how your lab and what it's doing. And of course, you know, developing a single cell cohort in a rare tumor type is an accomplishment in and of itself. And then going back to applying it in, to other cohorts, I think that's, you're probably going to see some important implications.
Yeah, I think you were talking about the IMPACT trial with the Bayesian design, which is a hugely important trial. And what we will learn from that in terms of individualized management is basically the translational analysis can be done on that cohort to see which patient did or did not respond to the radiotherapy that they got. For example, so that will be a huge learning experience, and it may already change practice. We'll have to see. It's not going to be long, I think, before it's going to read out. But yeah, this is what is right in the field. And the other thing is collaboration, because it's rare, right? In Leuven, we see 70, 75 patients a year, which is already high. Mm-hmm. In Amsterdam, they see more than 150. In Manchester, they see more than 150. So what we're doing now is, we're setting up a clinically annotated biobank throughout Europe with all these centers that have centralized penile cancer to validate these things and to validate these biomarkers. And then the next step is designing trials that are biomarkers driven in this space.
So you're getting a lot at the future, which is great for our audience. That's what we like to hear. We have forthcoming IMPACT trial. We have registry data. We have the more molecular characterization from your lab from that of others. Let's frame things for the practicing physician. So we know that typically things are characterized on histopathology, and maybe there's some send-outs, but is there anything else you could give advice to for the practicing physician?
In terms of biomarkers at this stage?
Yes.
I think it's too early. I think if you have a biopsy that shows, for example, P53 aberrant expression, that would, for me, be a signal not to go too close to the tumor, because we know they form little nests around the primary tumor. So if we go organ sparing surgery with very limited margins there, you are taking a risk.
Yes.
But I tend to believe that's a little bit early to really recommend. I don't think we have data to support such biomarker-driven decisions.
Perfectly acceptable, right? I mean, so we is often one of the decisions that us as urologists have to make, right?
Yeah.
We're going off with so little to begin with. I mean, there is a biopsy. It might be worth arguing for some of those molecular markers if they're not de novo obtained.
Yeah.
So all of that is extremely helpful. You've talked about a lot about future things, but anything else you want to tell our audience that you're excited about?
Well, you're at the EU meeting, and I've been heavily involved in organizing this edition. I would like to invite your audience to come to this edition. Let me see if I can. How did you like the meeting?
Oh, it's incredible. Everyone got, make a shout out for Amsterdam 2027, right? Yes. London 2026 has been incredible. I think the venue's been nice. I think all the activities have been wonderful. And of course, it's an engaging crowd that y'all have here, so you should be proud.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Euro-Onc Minute, and we'll catch y'all next time for the next episode.